Speaking of gratitude, I got kind of emotional there. We are in a series on gratitude and generosity. And in this series, last week we talked about the fact that our gratitude and our generous heart grows from what God has done for us. So we started there. Today I want to take you a totally different direction. And I want you to think about something for a minute. And I don't know about you, but if you've traveled any and you've been to other countries, isn't it always weird getting their money? You know, it just doesn't look right, right? I mean, we get used to what we handle all day, and it just, sometimes the bills are different sizes than ours or different denominations or shapes, and then you got to do the currency exchange. And sometimes in your mind, you know, you're handing somebody like $1,000, and it's not $1,000, it's $10 or whatever it is. It's hard to get your mind around what things cost and what the value of things are. And with that in mind, I want to push your mind in a whole different direction about what is valuable and what actually is something you hold that matters. And, you know, hearing Lorena talk about opening a shoebox and a Barbie doll. I don't know about you, but I had sisters growing up. And I had a G.I. Joe, of course. And I had no interest in Barbies. but knowing that there are kids around the world who've never even had one, and knowing my sisters had so many. You know, and you think about those kind of things where we just don't value what we have often here in the United States the same as the rest of the world. And I want to get you thinking in a whole different way about what is valuable and what matters, what actually costs. I think about how time is more valuable than money. You know, Pastor Jeremy said a minute ago about relationships is what really makes you rich. But you think about time, you can always earn more money, but time, once you've spent it, it's gone. And there's so many things in life that operate like currency, but time, for instance, is one of those currencies where you never know how much you actually have. You spend it in certain ways, but then you don't know. Like, for instance, the last time you see, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, please don't. But a lot of times you experience something for the last time and you didn't know that was the last time. And it just happened that way. And then that time is gone. Or you only have a certain amount of time and you can't get it back. So when you invest it in certain things, it really is an investment in something that you don't know the outcome and you don't know where it's gone. And then once it's spent, it's gone. I think about this too. It's the same with trust. Trust is like currency in a way. You earn trust from people by investing in them, and then you spend that trust by decisions you make and things you do, where you have more or less, depending on what you do. You ever done this, where you talk to somebody and you say, trust me. What you're asking them to do is spend some of that currency that you built up in them. It goes way past that. Think about how we give attention, how you give service, how so many times it's not about things, but it is about relationships. It's about hospitality and even grace. The grace you give people earns you something like currency. It's grace because you pay it forward that way. Experiences. You yourself earn experience by time and risk and opportunities and what you do with your life. And all of that adds up, and then you spend it. Think about your talents. I've used this before. I mean, anybody else have piano lessons growing up? Yeah? Any of you raise your hand still play piano? I mean, I can play chords really good. That's it. I mean, I can do modulations, and if you know music, you know, I can do my fifths and all that. But I could do all these different scales, but I can't play piano. Isn't it interesting, though, when you invest in something like that? Somebody once said to a virtuoso, you know, oh, I would have given my life to play like you. And he looked at him and he's like, really? Because I did. I mean, there's something tangible in what you invest your time in that pays off in talents. You may have aptitude at something, but unless you really invest in it, it doesn't pay off the same. And I think of it like this. Generosity is similar. And there's different kinds of generosity, and I want us to really think about this. There's a difference when you give freely, which is the goal. The goal is for you to give freely, but not all of us are generous that way. Sometimes Giving is occasional. You're generous occasionally, which I think most of us would agree that's not really generosity. It's kind of a temporary thing. Sometimes giving, we give when it's convenient. We don't always do it, or when we're compelled, or maybe coerced. And I think about when somebody is coerced emotionally to give. Not that you did that today, I'm not saying that. Although, there is an emotional tie-in when you have somebody literally up here who's experienced shoeboxes as a child. That makes me want to go out there and not just get one, but get as many as I can carry, and then come back next week and fill my arms again. Because I want to have that impact on somebody like Lorena experienced. That's okay, but it's a different kind of generosity. And sometimes we need to be compelled to be generous or emotionally motivated because we get complacent, we get stuck and comfortable where we are, and we need something to jar us out of that. Sometimes we give just enough. That's not really generosity. On the other hand, sometimes we give over and above, which is the definition of generous. And then there's a difference between consistency and a one-time gift. They're all different. And then there's giving until it hurts. We can be generous in some areas and then not generous in others. I think about this a lot too, because I've seen the absentee dad who then overgives on a gift because he hasn't been generous with his time. There's people who serve but don't give financially, and then others who give financially but don't serve. It's different kinds of generosity. I just want to expand your thoughts on this idea for a minute. Some people who are willing to give their talents, but then they don't give any grace with it. I don't know. I think the difference is those people aren't really generous in their hearts. Their heart isn't one of generosity or gratitude. It sometimes can even be a tool of manipulation or a way to just assuage their guilt. And generosity isn't always just about quantity. Think about this for a minute. It's not just about quantity. Generosity is sometimes about quality. It's about you giving your absolute best. Sometimes generosity is also about capacity, where Jesus noticed the widow putting in just a tiny, tiny coin. Which is interesting, if you go to Israel today, you can still buy those widow's mites, like what she dropped in there. And they're not super expensive because they were so common. And they're so tiny and made out of a real simple metal. But it's all she had. Sometimes generosity is about timing. When you know there's a moment that it really matters, and I don't know if you've done this, I have, where I've hesitated and I've missed the moment to be generous in time, and then when I finally decided to be generous, it wasn't appreciated the same had it been when I knew God wanted me to be generous. Sometimes it's about meaning, and then sometimes, sadly, it's just to be seen, and it's superficial. Sometimes it can make the difference in a relationship. Sometimes it's about choosing to be fully present and generous with your attention. I don't know about you, but I have to be very careful with my phone. I don't want to be with people and be on my phone. And I think we've all done this where you've seen maybe somebody in a restaurant and they are all on their phones together, but not engaged. They're not really being generous with their attention and time together. I don't want to be like that. There's times when I find myself listening, but I'm not really listening. I know you've never done that, right? Where you're talking to somebody and part of me is like, oh my goodness, what are they talking about? I just missed like a second or two and I've lost. So I'm desperately trying to pick up on something in context that will tell me what in the world they're talking about. It's embarrassing. You know what I do? Stop. Can you start that all over again? Most people are willing to do that because I was distracted in a moment or not really paying attention like I should, and something piqued my interest or they said something that made me realize this is more important than that. I wasn't being generous enough with my attention to catch what they were really saying. I don't want to be like that. There's times when I realize I need to show and invest more interest and concern and ask questions that really draw out what they're talking about. And when you do that, you're being generous in a way that you give value to them and they can sense and feel valued. And it's all about that, isn't it? The value, the generosity, the giving, the value, the time, the attention, all those are about value. And because I value you, I give that to you. I invest that in you. Not to get something back, but because you are worthy of that. I think about those kind of things, and I want to turn this just a little bit now, and think about generosity as it comes to time, your service, your talents. Think about that when it comes to a church. What's funny about church is some people, and please don't, nobody elbow anybody, and nobody think I'm talking to you. I'm not. I don't have any of you in mind. I'm just talking in general. I'm talking about our church, but I'm talking in general. A church is not really meant to be like a cruise ship where people come and just enjoy the ride. It's not really meant to be that way. People can do that, and you can do that. I'm just saying if you do, you're not getting the most out of it. It may be enjoyable, but it's not really a consumer thing. This isn't like a grocery store where we go and just take what we need and then walk away. It's not really meant to be that way. You can do that, but if you do, you're missing out on what is mostly offered here. And it really comes from a generous heart. And the difference is if you're part of what's happening here and you are part of making the ship work, then you will actually enjoy it and be, it's kind of a bizarre thing that God does with this. The more generous you are with your time, the more you enjoy it. But if all you do is come and just consume, then what happens is you will get some enjoyment, but it won't be the same, and you won't even know it unless you get involved, unless you become part of it. I prefer to think of it like this. We're not really a cruise liner. What we are is a hospital ship. And it's a hospital ship where all of us at one point or another need some healing, and then we need to participate in helping people be healed. Another example using the ship analogy might be if we all were working an oar, and if you come and just enjoy the ride, that's okay. I mean, you can do that. But there is a certain joy when you're part of the team making the whole ship move. Not only that, the ship moves better and more efficiently if everybody's participating. It works totally different that way. And I really believe that it's a generous heart that makes that happen, where we all want to be part of what's going on, and we're motivated by gratitude that way. Jesus, when he was working with people, he came to the earth, and he was telling people about the kingdom of God, and he chose initially 12 people to follow him. And as he chose those 12, I kind of think of them like Jesus' staff, like his full-time paid staff. And at first, they did all the work. And then what Jesus did at certain points is he called different numbers of people. And in this one passage of scripture I want us to look at in Luke chapter 9, says this: one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everybody about the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He sent them out, 12. And as he did that, he had trained them, planned with them, told them, okay, you go do the work. And he did that. And I'm sure that they were grateful, they were excited about it. But one thing that a lot of times people don't realize is it also came with a price. And what he called them to do was to be trained and to be discipled. And he wanted them to be equipped and ready to do that ministry. So he says in another place, a little further down, he says to the crowd, if any of you, now remember he had the 12, he'd already sent them. Then he says to the crowd, which you might consider yourselves at this point the crowd, to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. And if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you yourself are lost or destroyed? Kind of powerful, right? Isn't this exactly opposite of our culture today? Do you hear what he's saying? He says, if you want to be one of these 12 and be part of this, then you need to engage, get trained, be part of it, lay down yourself, and take up your cross. It's powerful. It also wasn't super popular. I mean, who wants to do that? Now remember, Jesus hadn't been crucified yet, so they probably didn't understand it in the fullness that we might today. But the fact is, what he's saying is, you need to carry, because back then, if you were headed to the cross, typically what they would do is, it wasn't usually a cross like what we're used to seeing. It was more like a T-shape, and you would carry that cross member to the execution site. Basically, what he's saying is, you have investment in this. You are part of it. It was a heavy calling, but it's an anathema to our world today, right? It's almost exactly opposite from what our world preaches. Think about what our world preaches. Our world says, follow your heart. What did Jesus say? Follow me. What does the world say? The world says, today the world says, believe in yourself. Jesus said, believe in me. The world says, leave your truth, live your truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, not a truth, the truth, and the life. Yes. The world today says, just do what makes you happy. Jesus said, take up your cross. It's powerful. It's crazy. Our world is so selfish, so narcissistic, so inward focused. It's all about me, me, me. But that's not generous. Do you ever think about that? That's the exact opposite of generous. And what they miss and they don't understand is if they were generous and actually gave of themselves, then they would be so much more fulfilled than they could be on their own. I know it hurts sometimes. Sometimes you're just tired and you're like, I need to be about me. And I know we've all read memes and saying, oh, it's a little self-care and I need a little me time. I get that. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is the more generous you are, then the more you will be fulfilled. And the sad thing is, the more you focus on just me, unfortunately, the more hollow and thin it gets, and the more you will need. But if you turn it around, the more you will give. Later on in that same passage, in chapter 10, Jesus says this, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples. Do you guys realize there's more than 12? There was a lot of people that followed him. At this point, he has 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers in the field. Here's what I want to challenge you with today. More generosity leads to service, and it's that discipleship. Now, it's costly. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, but the fact is, this is what we're supposed to be about. Some of you may wonder, why? What's up with the numbers in the Bible? You got the 12 disciples. This is 72. Well, let me just, there's a lot to it, but real briefly, you know, the Jews liked the 12. I mean, we had the 12 sons of Abraham, so that 12 tribes of Israel. So the 12 disciples, there's a key there. And then 72 would have been, do you guys know the math? What is that? Times 6. So you get a complete number there. For them, that was one of their complete numbers. What that meant to them was it was everybody. Now, of course, there were an actual 72, but it was symbolic of all everybody. Now, there's more than 72 people in here, and you may not realize this, but you are the 72. We are those other disciples that follow along, and we're the ones that are also called to do this ministry. And Jesus literally sends us out and asks us to be his forerunners, asks us to be the ones that go ahead and prepare the way for the king. Now, I know that sounds crazy. Some of you are like, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that. But you are. You're the 72. Let me say some things that may be shocking to you. Jesus gives, but then he doesn't expect us just to keep it to ourselves. He's not about selfishness and me and narcissism. He's not. He's about us giving it back. That's how he works. Jesus doesn't call you without also sending you. He doesn't heal you without then expecting you to help heal others. He doesn't restore you for you just to enjoy it for yourself without you then turning around and being generous with what he's given you and helping others to be restored. He doesn't save you and forgive you of sins without then expecting you to go share how beautiful that is and the wonder of it all and for you to be grateful for it and then to be generous with that message. What he wants you to do is take that and turn it around and share it with the whole world. That's what he wants to do. His generosity and grace extended to you is to motivate you to share it with everybody else. Think of it like this. He doesn't bless you without then sending you out to be a blessing. He's expecting you to take all of that and to be generous with it and share it with every single other person you can. That's what he plans for you to do. That's what he wants for you to do. He never intends for you to just keep it to yourself. That's not how it works. And what's beautiful about this is he has created in you this masterpiece for then for you to go and do these good works. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. It was his plan all along. I don't know about you, but I feel like when I fully get the picture of what God has done, how do you bottle that up and not share it anyway? I mean, if you're really grateful for everything, you can't help but talk about it, and you can't help tell others, and you want them to experience what you experienced, and you may not realize this yet, but the more you share that, the more you have. Yep. It's funny. We live in a world today where they kind of have this whole idea of zero-sum gain. Have you heard that? That there's a limited pool, and if I give too much away, then I won't have enough for myself. That's not how it works in God's economy. The way it works in God's economy, the more he blesses you, the more you share that, the more you're blessed. The fact is, the more you've been forgiven of and grateful for that, and the more you share that, then the more people you share that, then the more the forgiveness there is. He just extends it over and over and over. You cannot deplete the grace that God is doing. I look at it like this. It's pervasive generosity. We become those sent ones, and we share that with person after person after person. And Jesus takes what he's done in us and shares it with others, and it just multiplies over and over and over again. Could I have the person who's going to join me on the keys coming up here, if you would do that for me for a second? I think about this, and I think, what does God want from us ultimately? What he wants is he wants us part of his kingdom, and then as part of his kingdom, we join his team, and then we share that with everybody, and the goal is for everybody to get to know him. That is the goal for all of us. So that generosity means we become part of the team, not just a spectator, not just a consumer, but we are part of the whole thing that makes all of the kingdom of God work. I'm gonna ask you to shut your eyes for a second. I'm going to ask you a couple questions that are, maybe they'll feel like, let me just ask you. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. I just want to ask some questions. I just want to get you thinking about what you've heard this morning. I want you to get you thinking, adding to this to what you heard from Lorena and from John and from the idea of generosity and being generous for a child that you will never probably ever see this side of heaven. With your eyes closed, I just want you to imagine this for a second. We got to meet Lorena today, and we don't know who it was who packed that box that changed her life. But I wonder if heaven's going to be like this. I think it is. I think there's going to be tons of people who are going to walk up and say thank you. And they're going to have specific things that you contributed to and you were part of that they are grateful for, and they're going to thank you. And it's going to blow our minds. But in the meantime, I want you to think of this for a second. I'm just going to ask you a quick question. What has God done for you? What has he saved you from? What has he blessed you with? And what are you doing with that? What are you doing to demonstrate your gratitude and be generous with what he's done for you? Maybe you're saying here, Pastor Dennis, that's asking a lot. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Well, first thing I'm going to ask you to do is pray about that. God, where do you want me to be generous? How do you want me to be generous? Of course, there's a practical example today with shoeboxes, but there's other ways. As I mentioned before, certainly financially, of course, that's a thing. With your time, with your attention, being generous with your kids, with your wife, with your husband, with your family, with your friends, with those here. What is it that God is doing in you that you need to be generous? Hold that thought for a minute. With your eyes still closed, I want to do this for a sec. The crowd this size, I know that there might be someone in here that all this is new to you, or maybe you've heard it a lot of times, but today's different. You've heard me say that we serve a God who created us for a relationship. You heard me say that this God sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sin. And maybe you're sitting here and you're wondering, with all this generosity and gratitude, maybe you're saying, I don't have a relationship with Jesus like that, and I need that. And if that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand and we will pray with you. Anybody at all like that, that you're first time you want to say, I need that relationship with Jesus you keep talking about? Anybody at all? I do see that hand. Thank you for that. Anybody else? All right, I want us all to pray with this young lady, and I want us to pray. And if you would do this, ma'am, if you who raised your hand, if you would just repeat this prayer after me, and I'd like you all to do this with me, so with the whole room's praying together, but all this prayer is going to do is just say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. That's all it's going to do. Let's just do this together. If you would pray with me, just repeat after me. Father God, thank you for creating me. Thank you for creating me for relationship. Sorry for what I've done wrong. That separated me from relationship with you. Thank you that Jesus paid the price. I need that forgiveness today. I want to start this relationship with you. Come into my life and change me. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to close this in prayer, but I'd like to do this. If you would stand with me. If you guys might want to head out so you get out before everybody else, that'd be awesome. What I'm going to do, though, is if anybody needs prayer for anything, we have people who are going to come up front here and be ready to pray with you. So if you're part of our prayer team, pastors, board, spouses, come on up real quick. We want to give opportunity for prayer. If you need prayer for anything, it can be physical healing, any of the things we prayed for before, anything at all. What we'd like to do is pray with you. We just want to share with you and help carry whatever burden that is and pray with you. But I want to pray for everybody as we get ready to dismiss. And if you need prayer, just pop out real quick. And I just want to pray for the rest of us that God would help us in our generosity. If you would join me in prayer. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for every single thing you have blessed us with. From the life we enjoy, from the breath we breathe, from this beautiful creation that you've given us to enjoy. God, for the families you've given us and the friends you've given us for this church. God, we're grateful for all of these things. We're grateful for the wealth we enjoy in this country, all the many things that we take for granted. God, we're grateful. We're grateful most of all for your son's sacrifice for us in salvation. And we ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would be pleased with us. And now we want to turn that gratitude back and be generous with our time, with our money, with everything that we have, everything you've given us, God. And we pray that you would speak to us about what those things are that we need to be generous with. We trust you for that, and we lay that at your feet. We want to be generous, God. Show us what it is and which ways we need to be generous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you head out. Remember to load your arms up with boxes. And if you're part of the Connect Lunch today, as you head out, just turn right to your left, and we'll be in the Crown Room as soon as possible.